pray together? You know, I feel like there might be a couple people here today that are just maybe wrestling with the goodness of God. And, you know, let me tell you, when circumstances are not good, when you're wrestling with depression, when you're wrestling with just all sorts of things, sometimes it's just so hard to see the goodness of God. And I just feel like there might be a couple people here that are wrestling with that today. You're having a real hard time seeing God as good in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your life right now. And if that's you, would you just lift your hand and let me just pray for you. It's okay to doubt the goodness of God. It's okay to go through circumstances where you go, I don't know if God's really that good. Anybody else you'd like prayer? I pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up every person, God, in this place with their hand raised, saying, I'm just struggling right now. It's just easy for me to doubt the goodness of God. I'm going through things, and I'm looking around at my life, and I'm just going through depression. I'm just going through some things right now, and I'm just really having a hard time seeing God as good. God, I thank you that you brought them here today to remind them how much you love them, how tenaciously you love them, how incredibly you love them, how committed you are to them, God. And God, that your love compelled Christ to stretch out his arms on the cross and in the most ultimate, intimate, powerful act of love and goodness ever. God, I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would reach and just touch the hearts, God, of those who are just having a hard time, just struggling, just doubting your goodness right now, God, that you would touch their hearts, that you would encounter them today, God. God, just mercy. Mercy. Sometimes we just go through things like when we're little kids and somebody twists their arm behind our back until we say mercy, God. Okay, God, mercy. God, mercy. Show your mercy. Show your mercy, God. Because you are good and your mercy endures. You are good and your mercy endures. Hey, would you say that with me? You are good and your mercy endures. Say it again. You are good and your mercy endures. God, thank you for your peace. Thank you that you are good. Even when we can't see it, you're still good.
I feel like the Lord is saying to somebody or maybe several people in here that as you are mourning or you are grieving, he is grieving with you.
Yeah.
But he hurts when you hurt.
Yeah.
And though you may feel alone, you just feel like he's saying, no, I'm grieving with you. I'm crying with you. I feel that pain. I've experienced that same level of pain. And I am carrying it with you. You are not alone.
Yeah.
Just know that you are not alone. He is feeling what you're feeling. He knows your grief and your pain.
We pray against confusion. God says, I've not given you a spirit of confusion. That's not of me. I've not given you a spirit of confusion, but of power and love and sound mind. I've not given you a spirit of confusion. That is not from me. God, we pray for your peace. Greater measures of peace, of your presence,
Thank you, God, for the shoes of peace, the shoes of peace. Holy Spirit, just come in greater measure, greater measure, greater measure. Greater measure, greater measure. We love you, God. We love you. We love you. Tell him you love him.
We love you, Jesus.
We love you, God. We love you so much. We love you so much. We love you so much. You all can have a seat. Thank you, God.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad that you guys are here. God is good, isn't he? Amen. He's so good. And, you know, he knows what we need and when we need it. And he's the God of comfort, right? You know, he's the God of comfort. And just glad that you guys are here today. What a good day. Dan mentioned in the announcements that February 21st, we're starting something here on Wednesday nights. It's only for 12 weeks. It doesn't go indefinitely. So you can just kind of jump in and ride that ride with us for 12 weeks. And then when it's over with, you can breathe a sigh of relief that it's over with. It's 12 weeks of uncomfortable conversations. And there's always those things, you know, that you kind of people are afraid to talk about in church, or, you know, what just the awkward questions, or if you're a Christian, you know, and you're sharing your faith with somebody, there's always those questions you hope they don't ask, you know. And so that's what we're going to do. For 12 weeks, we're just going to explore those questions, those uncomfortable questions, uncomfortable conversations. And it's going to be fun. So we're going to be here at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. There won't be childcare and there won't be food. So unless you bring some food. So if you want to bring a snack, bring a snack. Okay, but we're gonna get to it. We're gonna get down to the nitty gritty. We're gonna get started right away. We're gonna spend about an hour doing it, and then we will give each other a hug and go home afterwards. So that's gonna start 6:30 right here on Wednesday nights, starting February 21st. So in case we haven't met yet, I'm Lee, and I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard, and glad that you guys are here. It's cold outside. And all of that, and you guys came out, and thank you for coming out to worship God. And this is our mission right here. This is what we're all about. Can we say our mission statement together? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what Mercy Vineyard is all about. It's all about living on mission. We're not just about gathering here on Sundays. We're about living on mission. And it's to love Jesus more, to love each other more, to love our community more. It's to grow in Jesus, and to go, to serve each other, serve our community. Man, this is what the church was all about, and the body of Christ, and it's all for God's glory. So that's what we're all about. This morning, what we're doing is we're starting a three-part series called Future Forecast. Did anybody see the little graphic on the Facebook cover and went, they're doing some divination over there? Anybody think that? Nobody? Man, they're doing some... Like, I think they said, like, how to predict the future. They're doing some divination over there. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about future forecast, okay? And we're talking about creating the type of future that God wants us to walk in. You know, God has a hope and a future for us. There is a future, a destiny that God wants for us. And how do we walk in that? Everybody wants to know about the future, right? Isn't that like, I think if we all could have, like, a superpower... Would anybody want the power to see into the future? Really? Okay, like two honest people and not a stock trader in here. I'm really surprised. Not like one person, like, yeah, I'd check out the stocks for tomorrow and be filthy rich in a day. Yeah, that's what I would do. If I could see into the future, I'd see into where the S&P 500 is going. But, you know, the future holds. We all want to know what tomorrow holds. We want to know what the weather's going to be like. Does anybody check their weather app before they go to bed at night? Really? Okay, a few people. I do. I want to know what to wear tomorrow, so I'm not too cold. Okay? Nerds are obsessed about what's going to happen with the next Marvel movie. Nerds, yes, for us. Even bigger nerds want to know what's happening in the next DC movie. they're going to want to know what's happening. And we either kind of imagine this world of, like, flying cars, right? Spaceships, rocket packs, or like zombie apocalypse. You know, that's gonna, or both. Wouldn't that be crazy? Zombie apocalypse with jetpacks. Zombies with jetpacks flying around eating brains. That would be crazy. So, but people have always sort of, like, going way, 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 way back, people have tried to speculate what the future is going to be like. Even in the 50s. Check out this clip right here. I think you'll like this one.
Oh, hello there. I didn't expect no company. You mind if we visit for a while? As you can see, I'm about to prepare dinner. As you can plainly see, that all these old-fashioned gadgets here are the thing of the past. That's why I'm known as the chef of the past. Believe me, it is a hard job to prepare a meal using all these old-fashioned gadgets, like this here cheese grater here and this corkscrew here. Boy, I wish somebody would invent a household utensil that would do the work of all of these. Great hell, who are you?
Oh, I am the chef of the future. I heard your wish, and I have come here to answer it.
You mean to say that you have invented a household utensil to do the work of all of these? Ha ha!
I will show you, non-believer. Not only will this helpful housewife Happy Handy do all the work of these old instruments, but it will also do them 100% better. I will demonstrate to you, and to you, dear friends in television land, exactly how it works. Now, we will demonstrate by first you, the chef of the past, doing a chore with an old implement, and then I will do the same chore with this new implement. And we will see then, there.
Very good, old chef of the future. First, we will sharpen a knife using the old-fashioned sharpening stone here.
Ha, ha, what... aren't they ancient?
Let us see what kind of a job it does. Now, to test the cutting edge of the knife.
Ha, ha!
Done.
Ha ha! Watch this. There you are, much faster.
Amazing. The hair never had a chance.
This is an improvement and proof you cannot dispute. This is all going on live, not on film.
Another proof of a happier life through television.
It's fun. When TV, like this was, I think, 3 or 4 years after TV came out, something like that. It was 51, 52, so TV came out in 48. Everybody thought there was a better life through television. That was the wave of the future. And even since way back when, if you look at like films that they made back in the 30s and 40s about what the future of cars would be like, and, you know, I was convinced that by the year 2000, I would have a flying car. And 2000 came and went, and still no flying car. So I want my money back. But we do. We kind of imagine this. I remember when I was a teenager, I remember what my life was going to be like as an adult, being, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old. What would my life be like as an adult? Who would I marry? You know, and I would try to imagine, kind of look around my church and go, could I marry her? No. Marry her? No. I don't think I could ever marry her. No. I grew up in Wisconsin, so that was normal. Oh, you know, what would I do for a career? You know, what would I do for a career? I wonder what I would do for a job. What would I do for a career? What kind of father would I be? I wondered about that, what kind of father I would be. But I think most of all, like the biggest thing that I wondered when I was younger is, you know, what would my life story be? What would my story be when I was younger? You know, would the world be a better place because of me? Would I have what it takes to succeed in life? You know, I wondered about that. There was a divorce in my family and things like that, and so I wondered, would I be able to stay married for a long time? What would that be like? Would I just be able to be an adult? Would I be able to adult well? You know, I wondered that even when I was a teenager. I think if you wonder that when you're a teenager, though, you probably have a better chance of actually doing it as an adult. Would I be able to adult well? And so maybe you've kind of wondered about your future. Maybe you kind of wonder, will I be fulfilled? Will my future be fulfilling, or will my future be frustrating, right? Will I live in surplus? Will I live in scarcity? And it's natural to worry about the future. It really is. And but did you know that God has given us the ability really to kind of design or to create our futures within His will? And it's really interesting how God speaks to us and leads us to do this, but God has given us really the ability to sort of create our futures, okay? And so we partner with Him in that. And He's given us principles and power to shape what happens in our lives, what happens tomorrow, and knowing that that God has given me the ability to sort of influence what happens in my tomorrow gives me a whole lot of hope. It gives me a whole lot of joy. We are not fated for our tomorrows, right? Sometimes we just think, oh, it's just fate. Whatever fate happens, you know. We just had Christmas, and you know, the song, you know, through the years we'll always get together, should the fates allow. And I always just thought, well, what, can't you coordinate your calendars? You know, why don't you just, you know, why is it up to fate whether or not we get together, you know? And so it's not fate, but God has given us the ability to shape our future and determine and decide what's going to happen. And so how do we do that? And I think it's so important that we understand that there actually is a process, that God has put things in place for us to be able to shape our future, to be able to walk in His will and to succeed in relationships and succeed in our work and all those things. And so we're going to talk about that, but first, real quick, let's pray, okay? God, we love You so much. And we pray, God, that You would cause Your Word to come alive in us. Lord, we want Your Word to be transformational. We don't want to just read Your Word today and walk away the same. God, we want Your Word to have its way in our lives and in our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, come and illuminate God's Word so we can have better understanding of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to take a look at a scripture that we have looked at many, 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 many times. Many times. Does this look familiar to anybody? Philippians 4:8. Those of you who've been with us since the beginning know that we have talked about this scripture so much because it is so, 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 so important. And we'll keep talking about it until y'all have it memorized. But it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your what? Fix your what on what's true? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Just fix your thoughts on what's true. Think about what's worthy of praise. Okay? And so if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. Your thoughts are the first predictor of your future. Your thoughts are the first predictor of your future. So if you're wondering what the future holds, if you're trying to predict what's going to happen, what your life is going to be like in 5 years, if you're wondering about the future, listen, your thoughts are the first predictor of your future. It all starts there, right? It all starts up here. It all starts in your thoughts. Everything begins with a thought. That's why God tells us to think about what's true, right? That's why God tells us to think about what's honorable. That's why He tells us to think about what's right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, because He knows that it all starts with a thought. It all starts about the way that we think. That's why they say, hey, stay away from stinking thinking and all that stuff, right? It all starts with our thoughts. And so these, you know, it's our thoughts, these thoughts that we think that are excellent and praiseworthy and lovely and admirable, these are things that foster hope for your future, right? So, I mean, what's the opposite? Think about it. Like, you know, if you're not thinking about what's true and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, then what are you thinking about? Junk, right? You're thinking negatively. You're thinking all the bad thoughts. And what we think is the predictor, first predictor of our future. And so if your thoughts are filled with complaining, if your thoughts are filled with pessimism, if your thoughts are filled with cynicism or criticism, has anybody ever gone through a mental jag where that's been your thoughts? Cynicism, criticism, yes. If your thoughts are filled with those things, it's going to affect your attitude towards life and towards the future. It's so important that we understand that God has put that in place.
that when we think about things that are excellent, praiseworthy, admirable, it gives us hope. And when we are dwelling on cynicism and criticism and negativity and pessimism, it affects our attitude towards the future. And so our attitudes are like prophets. Your attitude is the prophet of your future. Has anybody ever heard that before? Right? Your attitude is the prophet of your future. And when I talk to someone who has a negative attitude, maybe about their marriage or about their job or their health, I can predict with relative certainty that barring a miracle, their situation is not going to improve. I've never known anybody to complain their way into a better situation. I've never seen it happen. I've never seen anybody, you know, think and speak cynicism and negativity and things improve. They don't go together. They don't, okay? And so research has even shown that people who have cancer, like cancer patients, that those with a positive attitude are more likely to survive and recover. Has anybody ever heard that? Right? Cancer patients with a positive attitude are more likely to recover. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that it is that cancer patients with positive attitudes recover, tend to recover better than those with negative attitudes? All right? Because it's the predictor of their future, because it changes everything. It changes their thoughts, it changes their words, it changes their actions. And so it's so important that we understand that God has said, hey, take control of your attitude with a Philippians 4:8 mindset. Sometimes our attitudes are just go, and we all have bad days, right? We all kind of get into funks and get bad attitudes and things like that. We all do that. But God wants us to take control of those attitudes with Philippians 4:8 thinking. And when we do that, it helps to turn things around. Creating a future that's full of life, creating a future that's full of fulfillment, understanding that in the weeks to come, the months to come, the years to come, if they're going to get better, it has to start with our thoughts. And it has to start with the way that we think about it. Okay, that's just so, so important. Because listen, I've been there. I've been on the other side. I've not always been the positive person that you see in front of you today. I have been in situations, I've gone through months of time, sometimes longer, where I've been negative, or I've been cynical, or I've been just like not in a good way. And it's affected my attitude. It's affected the way that I've treated my wife and my children. It's affected the way that I've performed at work. It's just affected everything. And no matter how much I wished for things to get better, but still had negative thinking, it did not get better. Okay? So the next thing is this. Your thoughts influence the condition of your heart. Your thoughts influence the condition of your heart, right? So your thoughts are the first predictor of your future, and your thoughts influence the condition of your heart. Why is this important? Why is it important to understand that the condition of our hearts determine our future, okay? Your thoughts influence the condition of your heart. Your heart is of the utmost importance. There's not a whole lot more important than your heart, okay? And so Proverbs 4:23 says, and we've said this one before too, guard your heart above all else, for it determines what? The course of your life. It determines your future. It determines the course of your life. The condition of your heart determines your future and determines the course of your life. And so what is your heart? Well, we kind of hit on it at the last point. Your heart is, it's your attitude, it's your emotions, it's your intentions. That's what your heart is. You know, so when the Bible is talking about your heart, it's talking about your emotions, your attitudes. It's all of those things, okay? And so we need to guard our heart because it determines the course of your life. And so if your life is important to you, if your future is important to you, if the coming year and the coming 5 years and coming 10 years of your life, of your marriage, your job, your career, all those things that we look at and see as your future, if that's important to you, then you need to guard your heart. Guard your heart. All right? So when we have a Philippians 4:8 mindset, what does it do? It strengthens our heart, doesn't it? Listen, I've been in situations before where my heart is sad, where my heart is down, where my heart is weak. I remember being, you know, stuck in a job that I hated and being surrounded by people that were hurtful and just being in different situations in my life where my heart was, it just felt weak, you know? It didn't have a whole lot of hope. And literally, I've had to kind of go
okay, God, but what around me is admirable? What in my life? Is there one thing, God, in my life that's praiseworthy? You know, is there at least just one thing that's of good report? Okay, God, thank you for that one thing. Thank you for that one thing. And all of us can think of one thing. All of us can. There's nobody in here that can't think of one thing, right? Because if Jesus died for you, then you can at least think of one thing that you can be grateful for, that you can be thankful for. Okay? And so that gratitude starts to strengthen us. Remember, we talked a little bit last week about gratitude, and it gives us courage. It helps us to love others. It helps us to gain positive vision for our circumstances, for our future. Okay? So your heart determines the course of your life. So keep your heart strong with honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and excellent thoughts. All right, I'm going to repeat that so you can write it down if you want. Okay? Your heart determines the course of your life. So keep your heart strong with honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and excellent thoughts. So, so important, because our thoughts are the first predictor of our future. And the next thing is this: your thoughts can shipwreck your future. And just like your thoughts can lead you into God's desire and God's plan and God's best for your life, just like your thoughts can lead you into a positive future, your thoughts can totally shipwreck your future. You know, just like positive thoughts can lead you to a life of fulfillment, negative thinking can lead to a future of regret. And it all starts here. It all starts here. I hope I'm not sounding too much like Tony Robbins or some sort of, you know, thing like that. I'm just telling you what Scripture says, okay? It says in Mark 7, 20 through 23, Jesus says, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you." It's what comes from inside that defiles you. "For from within," or out of a person's heart, right? Jesus says it's out of a person's heart. What is our heart? Our thoughts, our attitudes, our intentions. Right? It's out of a person's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. All starts with our thoughts. And when we don't guard our thoughts and we don't guard our hearts, it can shipwreck our future. It can lead us into all these evil things. Have you ever known somebody who just like, man, it's like they steal, they lie, and then they're fired from another job, and they don't pay their bills, and then they lose their house, and all these things, and then it's like everybody else's fault. It's their fault. I keep getting screwed. Whatever, you know what I mean? And it's always somebody else's fault, and you just want to shake them up and go, no. You need to change your heart. You need a change of heart. You need to start thinking right and stop blaming everybody else for everything wrong that happens to you, because it all starts right here and right here, okay? That's where it started for you. It wasn't that everybody hates you, okay? And so we have to understand that those things, they ruin marriages, they get you in trouble, they lead to addiction, they lead to financial scarcity, they lead to friction with everybody around you. They all start inside of you with your thoughts and with the condition of your heart. Okay? Don't deceive yourself into thinking that your negative attitude isn't hurting anybody. Right? You ever have somebody with just a horrible negative attitude and they're like, "That's just how I am. If you don't like me, don't try to change me." Right? "That's just how I am. I'm just a negative person. I'm just that way. I'm German." Right? "I can't help it." All right? "I grew up in Moline." And so, like, that's not it. That's not it. Don't deceive yourself into thinking, "Oh, that's just how you are, and you're not hurting anybody." Okay? Because you're creating an unfulfilling, unhappy future for yourself, for you. And probably for, you're not helping people around you as well. Okay? Your thoughts can totally shipwreck your future. And the last thing is this, and I hope I'm not moving too fast. If I'm moving too fast, you can go back and listen to the podcast later. Well, the last thing is, your thoughts shape who you are. Your thoughts shape who you are. Okay, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he."
As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, okay? Your thoughts shape who you are. You ever see somebody, you know, I remember back like in the, when I was in junior high, we used to watch like these motivational films. We'd have school rallies. Do they still have school rallies? With like a motivational speaker that comes and tells everybody to grow for it. I don't know if they still do that, but like when I was in junior high, I remember there was a guy in there and he was like, and we watched this little film and he'd look at himself in the mirror and he'd tell himself how good looking he was, you know. Man, you're good looking. And then there was a guy on Saturday Night Live. He says, I'm good looking. Stuart Smalley, yeah. Smart enough, I'm handsome enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. You know, and we sort of look at that now and we laugh. We say that's kind of cheesy and corny. But you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes that's just what it takes. I knew a pastor, and he's one of the greatest speakers that I know of. I mean, something about his ability, he has just this incredible anointing. But he will tell himself before he goes up to speak, they like you. They like you. Because sometimes even thoughts like that come into our mind. People don't like me. You know, if we go to work at work, people don't like me at work. Really? Do you have evidence of that? Well, somebody gave me a dirty look once. Are you sure they were looking at you? Well, I don't know. They might have been looking at the guy behind me. But still, people don't like me. You know, and so we kind of get into these cycles or these lies, and sometimes we have to literally tell ourselves it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. People like you. You know what? You're handsome, right? Vince, you're a handsome guy. Vince is a handsome guy. Somebody look at Vince, tell him he's handsome. Kevin, Vince is sitting right behind you. Tell him, turn around, tell him he's handsome. That's right. Yes, yes. That's right. You know, so thank you, Kevin. You know, sometimes we gotta change the way that we think. We gotta turn our thoughts around because as a person thinks, so is he, right? And so what we become and who we are, right, what we do, it flows out of who we are. It flows out of who we are. We get so focused on what we're going to do, don't we? Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Am I going to work there? Am I going to get this job? Am I going to do this? Am I going to marry that person? Am I going to whatever? You know, and we get so focused on what we're going to do. Should I go back to school or should I keep doing what? Should I live in Bettendorf or Rock Island? You know, the answer to that is easy. Rock Island, you know. And should I? I'm an Illinois person. You know. Should I date this person or that person? And I remember a friend of mine that I know. She's married now. She married this person, but when she was starting to date him, she actually scheduled dinners with like five or six different people, and then after each dinner, she would call those people up and go, "So, what did you think of him? You know, should I date him? Should I be? I don't know." You know, and so, or I made Ryan send me a resume. That was awesome. And he did it. It was the best. It was the best. Oh, I'll have to share that story sometime. I'm not trying to embarrass you guys. I love that story so much, though. It's one of my favorite relationship stories in the whole world. Okay. But it's like, you know, should I date this person? You know, what? You know, this whole question that we're constantly asking ourselves, what am I going to do with my life? Has anybody asked that question? Okay, the rest of you are liars. Everybody asks that question. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life, right? And I believe that God says, hey, don't worry so much about what you're going to do. Worry about who you're going to be. Because God is far more concerned with who you're going to be than what you're going to do, right? Because listen, if you are concerned with who you're going to be, what you're going to do is going to take care of itself. It just will, okay? Because it'll flow out of who you are. It'll flow out of who you are, okay? Worry about who you're going to be first. Develop a Philippians 4:8 mindset. Become a person. Become the person that God wants you to be. Become a person of hope. Become a person of generosity. Become a person of joy, of encouragement, of grace, of love, of growth. And when you're that kind of person, your future is going to be full of what? Hope and generosity and joy and encouragement and grace and love and hope, right? Okay? When you become that kind of person, your future will be full of those kinds of things. God is far more concerned with who you are than what you do. And we have to understand that.
But we have to go backwards then. So if God is so concerned with who I am, and if who I am determines what I'm going to do, then who I am, then I have to guard my heart, right? I have to develop a Philippians 4:8 mindset. Okay? I don't want my thoughts to shipwreck my future. I want to become the person that God wants me to be, and it starts with my thoughts and what I'm thinking every day. You know, some of us just need to start keeping a gratitude journal or start doing things to, we need to make that a Sunday morning 30-minute sermon that Karen speaks on gratitude. You know, but we have to do those things, the practical things that help us to become better us's. Right? To help us to become the people that God wants us to be. All right? And so what we're going to do this morning, I want to close out. And all I want to do, this almost seems like a silly point of prayer. Because I have this feeling that all of us are just going to stand up and say, yes, please pray for me for that. But all I want to do is I just want to pray for people this morning who would like to foster a greater Philippians 4:8 way of thinking. If you're just like, yes, I want to be more Philippians 4:8 in my mind, in my thinking, then would you just stand up and let me pray for you, okay? And Wendy, if you would come to, I think that God, there's so much in that. Maybe you wrestle with attitudes. Maybe you wrestle with attitudes that don't lead to so much of a fulfilling future, right? Maybe you wrestle with negative attitudes. Maybe you wrestle with things that are not Philippians 4:8. Maybe you wrestle with those negative things. Listen, I've been there. I've lived through it, man. I feel like I have gone through that lesson more times in my life than I even care to. It's embarrassing how many times I have gone through that lesson of developing a Philippians 4:8 mindset. But when we get it, and when we discipline our thoughts, okay? I'm going to say those three words again, because I think some of you guys need to hear it and grab onto that. When we discipline our thoughts to dwell on the Philippians 4:8 things, then God can really start doing some incredible things in us, okay? And we need to find that discipline. Some of us just need, that's why I say to you guys like every Sunday, do this. Put this into practical action. Don't just go home and go, what a great sermon, but go home and start keeping that gratitude journal. Go home and start looking in the mirror and going, I look handsome. I'm feeling Van Winkle today, right? You need to say that to yourselves. I'm feeling Van Winkle today. You know, God has a hope and a future for me. God has given me an amazing spouse.
Amen.
Amen. Right? So we just want to pray for you. Do you feel like, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple of things that I felt like God was saying. One was, I feel like for some people, at least, I don't know if this is an ongoing thing or maybe it's just recently, your mind just feels like it's racing all the time. And it's never quiet. And it feels chaotic up there. And God just wants to bring peace to your mind so that, you know, like he's got it under control. You don't have to figure it all out, right? And then the second thing I felt like he was saying is for people, maybe one or two, that where you're struggling in your thoughts right now is how you see yourself. And so like when he was talking about looking in the mirror and seeing yourself the way that God sees you, that you're struggling with that, that it's hard for you to believe that people do like you. People do like you. They're not all talking about you behind your back, you know. And I know we all struggle with that. We all, at some point or another, I don't care who you are, you wonder if people like you. But I feel like in particular there's just some that are really fighting with that lately, and it's kind of consuming you in a way, like, so it's kind of stunting you from doing things or just being yourself because you're preoccupied with those thoughts. So I believe that God wants to show you who you really are and also teach you to that it's okay to say nice things about yourself because they're true, because he made you. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, when we
when we look in the mirror and when we think about ourselves and we criticize the image of God, right? Because we're made in God's image. We don't want to criticize the image of God, right? Because he's perfect. And so so let's pray. Let's do that. Everybody just come on, just hold out your hands like this. Just repeat after me, Jesus, please give me a Philippians 4:8 mind. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. Help me to see the way you see. Hear the way you hear. And think like you think. I love you, Jesus. And Father, I just pray for everybody standing today. I pray, God, that you would help them to guard their hearts. God, that you would help them to think Philippians 4:8 thoughts. That you would fill them with gratitude. God, that you would help them to discipline themselves to be filled with gratitude. To discipline themselves to speak and think in line with your word. God, for your glory, because when we do, we're able to walk in the future you have for us, God, which is a future filled with hope and purpose. You are awesome. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, I just lift up those that whose minds are racing. Mm-hmm. I just speak to those minds and say, peace be still. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. I just speak, Lord, your truth, your peace. Holy Spirit, just come and infiltrate our minds and our thoughts and our hearts. Father, I thank you that there's nothing in our lives that you won't lead us through, and we don't have to have all the answers. So God, I pray for rest for our minds, that we can slow down and hear you speak to us and lead us and guide us, because you've promised that you will. God, speak your truth in the inmost parts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Vince, what is that?
God calls those things that are not as though they are. And a lot of times we go through something and we do beat ourselves up and fall down. But it's where they know that God sees you as a completed thing.
Amen. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, our prayer team is going to be back there, and we got a full prayer team, so just go and get prayer if you need prayer for anything today. And so we're going to wrap it up with a little bit of praise and worship. And if you are interested in our camp for abused and neglected foster children or our club, we have a meeting right afterwards, and Noah starts at noon. We got lunch, and it's going to be a great time. So, all right.